back in 2015, I did a series of television reports on policing. And after they aired, I was contacted by two lieutenants in the Bellevue, Washington Police Department, a suburb of Seattle where 35% of the population identifies as East and South Asian. They were trying to figure out ways to improve their relationships with communities of color, and they wanted insights that would help them in that effort. Well, 6 years later, as the nation digs into what police training, accountability, and reform could look like, I wanted to check back in with Bellevue PD to see if their efforts have made an impact. And Bellevue Police Chief Steve Milette joins us now for more. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you, Tanya. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here. So, Chief, over the last 5 years or so, there's been this national emphasis on implicit bias training. But we're also seeing this emerging research that shows that while understanding implicit bias gives us insights into the causes of, say, racially biased policing, there are as of yet no known straightforward effective intervention programs on this front. What has been your department's experience specifically with implicit bias training? Does it actually help?
It really does, Tanya. And I think one of the things that I have found, and I think my employees here have found most effective, is trying to put yourself in the shoes of the individual. Bellevue is an ethnic minority majority, and we have people in Bellevue that come from all around the world. And getting to know the culture, getting to know the customs, getting to know who they are, better equips our officers, our civilian staff, to interact with the very diverse community that we have the privilege of serving. I found that real-world interaction is as effective as sitting in a classroom and knowing the mechanics of implicit bias and where it will show up.
What are some of the challenges that you've encountered in this effort to get community input and for your police officers to understand where the community is coming from?
Fear of the police, not knowing who we are and what we represent. Again, we have a lot of first-generation immigrants in Bellevue, and what law enforcement represents to them where they've come from is much different than what we represent in Bellevue. So getting in front of them and breaking down those barriers of communication and showing them through our actions who we are has been fruitful here in Bellevue, but it has been definitely a challenge to overcome. When I interview for the job here in Bellevue, this is not something that most chiefs would, or most people would want to say to a city manager, the hiring authority, as you're competing for a job. But I told him, I said, if I'm successful leading the men and women of this police department, one of the things that's going to happen is crime is going to increase. Reported crime is going to increase. And he just kind of looked at me. I said, I am convinced that there are people in our community that are not reporting crimes either out of fear of the police or they don't want to bother the police or whatever the reason is. If we're successful and we're interacting with people effectively, we're going to break down those barriers of communication, establish the trust and earn the trust, and we will actually start seeing people coming forward to report crime. We don't want people suffering in silence.
Have you had an increase in people reporting crimes?
We have, actually. After one of our town hall meetings, there was a Latina. She actually reached out to one of my officers that's on our Latino Advisory Council, and she reported that she had been sexually abused by her supervisor for a period of time, and that what he was hanging over her head was he would call ICE if she reported it. And as we dug deeper, there were more victims that he had been targeting with the same tactic. And so we were able to, intervene and bring some people to justice.
Well, in addition to your own efforts, there have also been calls for other changes to policing there. Earlier this month, the city of Bellevue got the results of an independent review of policing that came out with a list of recommended police reforms, which includes a ban on neck restraints and chokeholds, but also broader things like de-escalation policies and the consideration of using body cameras. What reforms are you going to be implementing?
So definitely, we were already working on establishing a camera program that has been actually in flight for like the last year and a half, 2 years. Some of the other reforms that we're looking at from the OIR report include how we use our website, and there's 47 that they made. But as you look through them, Tanya, is what's important in there as well, at least to me, is what's not in there. And what's not in there is that we have any sort of reputation or history of using excessive force and violating the constitutional rights of the public.
Well, let's talk a little bit about deadly force specifically. I mean, another recommendation asks the department to prohibit the use of deadly force against people who are in danger only to themselves. What are the policies right now at your department? When exactly are officers told to use deadly force?
In my view, and it is our policy, that the only time that deadly force is authorized is if the individual you're dealing with is posing a danger to the officer or someone else. And it's got to be.
How do you assess that? I'm sorry to interrupt you, Chief, but how do you assess that? Because it's up to the officer to say whether he or she feels, based on what they see, could be a threat. And as we see, people see things differently based on where they stand.
So it's in the training. Many times it is a split-second decision as you're assessing all these different points of information that are coming at you. Fortunately, and I'm knocking on wood here, we have not had a use of deadly force in close to 6 years in Bellevue. It is the most significant decision an officer will ever make in their career is to use deadly force. And when you see it, at least in my 32 years as a police officer, you know it because it's that significant. It's when a person is truly posing a danger to somebody else or the officer. And it's got to be a reasonable danger, Tanya. It can't. You know, it's got to stand up to the test of our policies, our procedures, but also the community standards.
Are you disturbed when you see these videos come out showing what feels like for the public to be unlawful use of force?
So George Floyd's death, his murder, we were all significantly impacted by that. And if people weren't, then I would have to question why. That was an incredible video to watch. I can't watch it anymore.
Derek and yet Chauvin, there are other videos that we've seen since then that call into question the use of force. There is just a case out of Columbus, Ohio, involving a teenage girl. What do you want to see happen in the larger discourse around this? You've laid out beautifully the way that your department is taking on policing in your community. But what do you think needs to happen right now nationally?
So I think what needs to happen right now nationally is in that specific incident, I think the investigation needs to take place. I don't know enough about it. I've watched the video, and I'm always hesitant to weigh in on a case before everything has been looked at and examined and investigated. Again, George Floyd's situation was much different because we saw it right there, 9 minutes laying on his neck. Under no circumstances was that acceptable. But in the circumstance in Columbus, Ohio, I think we need to let the investigation take its course. And I am relatively sure that the investigation agency or the investigating body will come forward and lay out the case for the public.
Point taken. Understood. You know, Chief, before I let you go, I just want to ask you, what does it mean to you when you hear people say, we don't need more training? What we need is a change of the policing system.
Tanya, and I say this frequently, there is no way in this world that anybody legitimately and reasonably can argue that there are not systemic racist pieces of our systems that are still in place, because it was founded on a system that excluded people, minimized people, and didn't even acknowledge, you know, people as human beings. And I am so happy that we're finally having this conversation But the thing I get concerned about is that discussions and engagement are very important. But when we're yelling and screaming at each other, then the communication starts breaking down. And I don't think that we're going to go back to sleep as a nation, because, you know, you've been around for a while. You know that every time a flashpoint happens, everybody, yes, we need change. We need to do this. We need to do that. And then we go back to sleep until the next event happens. And I don't think we're going back to sleep, and I really, really hope that we don't.
Steve Milet is chief of police in Bellevue, Washington. Chief, thank you so much for your time in this conversation.
Thank you, Tanya.